Commencement speeches this year have taken on additional weight, not just for the graduates, but really for all of us. In this time of uncertainty, we're all looking for words of wisdom to remind us of who we are and the possibilities ahead. Poet and author Sonia Renee Taylor is no stranger to commencement speeches. She's given many of them over the years, and she's doing it again this year, virtually from her home in New Zealand. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, my favorite commencement speech of yours is actually your first one from 2016 at Hampshire College. Your take-home message, your take-home message was that there are no experts on living. I mean, that's a really timely message right now in 2020.
Yeah, I think we want to know it all, you know, like there's a comfort in having the answers and feeling like we've got it all figured out. And I think once we give ourselves permission to not be experts, to not have it all figured out, to just be part of this wild ride of being a human alive on this planet, I think there's great freedom in that.
Yeah. And thinking about the 2020 graduates, I mean, high school graduates not sure what college will look like in the fall, college graduates not sure about the job market. This sounds like a message you really want them to hear, but what are some other messages you think they need to hear?
I think it's important that folks recognize that while we don't have it all figured out, that we do have answers, that those answers live in what already connects us, what already brings us joy, what already is creating a sense of possibility and connection and love in our lives. And that if we can look towards those things, that's what the future that we're trying to bring about is going to be made of. And that's the one that's going to be rich and powerful. And so, no, we don't know what the job market is going to look like. No, we don't know what colleges are going to look like. But we do know what is helping us survive in this moment, because it's in the midst of such chaos that we really can tangibly see that which sparks aliveness in us. And that if we can stay focused on that, that's actually what's going to clear up the things that feel uncertain going forward.
You know, there are some other things to consider. So many graduates are part of other units. Some have experienced death from COVID-19 within their families. I actually spoke with a culinary graduate whose parents have both lost their jobs. How does one come to terms with fear and mourning while also being hopeful about the opportunities ahead?
Yeah, I think it's one of those really complex realities of humanity, is that there is always both. It's never either or. And I think one of the illusions that we tell ourselves is like bad things happen or good things happen. And the truth of the matter is that good and bad things are constantly and always happening. I heard someone say the other day, you know, like in this time of great fear. And I thought to myself, there's always been great fear. We are not experiencing something new. We just happen to be seeing it more clearly. And I think that part of that is the gifts of technology today. You know, when the Spanish flu happened, nobody could tweet about it. No one was able to tell, you know, people couldn't hop on Zoom and say we're having a collective experience. And so it's not that we are just starting to have a collective experience. It's just that we have the technology to know that we are. And so we're seeing what has always been true, which is that the deep grief and sorrow of life has always lived alongside the grand joy and possibility of life. And if we can just be with the duality of that and grieve when it is time to grieve, but not believe that it is indefinite, and then joy when it's time to joy, but also recognize that that too is transient and will change.
You've also said this idea of returning to normal isn't exactly the right frame for how we should be thinking about our futures. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, I think what we called normal was not normal at all. It was actually really about disconnection and about fear and about externalized value. You know, when I think about people protesting on state capitol steps for the right to return to work or not wear face masks, what I really see are people who are deeply afraid that the way in which they have historically known themselves as valuable is being shifted. That if if all of my worth has been assigned to what I do every day, to my job, to my normal quote unquote way of life, when that changes, who am I? And what a terrifying place to be if we haven't situated our sense of self-worth really on the sort of solid ground of our internal selves. And so going back to normal means going back to a world where we externally define our worth, where we have a lot of separation and divisiveness, where we see a lot of inequity and oppression, where we see a lot of danger and destruction to our society and to our natural world. I don't think we need to go back to that. I think we are getting a chance to say, what can we do differently that both affirms who we are, our inherent value, and also affirms the world that we live in? How do we sustain both of those things?
This is so powerful, what you're saying. And I'm also thinking about the duality of what you're talking about in regards to people wanting to go back to the identities that they know themselves to be, but the desperation of wanting to survive and survival.
Yeah.
And thinking about things like a paycheck when you don't have a paycheck.
Yes. Yes. And I think that those things are true, right? Like, again, this is such a both and conversation. And I think it's what makes it so hard is that we're being asked to hold so many things at the same time. The reality that, yes, there is a paycheck. But here's the thing that I think is important to remember is that that which is unsustainable will continue to be unsustainable, which means that the thing we're doing that doesn't work under this circumstance will probably not work in the future. And so here's the scary thing. We have nothing but the opportunity to reinvent ourselves. The moving away from what we knew and felt comfortable, again, back to this idea of like, we really like knowing, and it's the not knowing that's so terrifying. But if we can lean into that not knowing and access what is my heart's real desire, because right now, if that job is leaving, it's going to leave. And so if you have nothing but space and possibility, which is difficult to access when we're also in fear, but if we're saying this space is open right now, then we also are saying, I have some choice about what I would like to see put in it. We are at a tough time, but I believe that it's possible to really activate what I like to call our liberatory imaginations to what it is that will deeply bring us joy.
Mm. You talk a lot about radical self-love. In fact, you wrote a book about it called The Body Is Not an Apology, The Power of Radical Self-Love. A lot of people right now might feel disconnected to this message with so much going on. You know, how do you get there?
What I like to remind people is that radical self-love is not a place you have to get to. You came here already in love with yourself. There, you have never seen a self-loathing toddler in all your days. They arrive on the planet as love. That way we arrived and where we are today is the work, is the thing to dismantle. What are the messages and stories I've told myself and that others have told me and that society has told me that has me think that I am not already radical self-love? And as we begin to peel back those stories, what begins to rise is who we inherently are. It's the great time of excavation.
The great time of excavation. Is that your final message to the class of 2020 and really to all of us?
I think it is. In this particular moment, what do we deeply want to see come about in our own lives? And what do we deeply want to see come about in the world? It's the time to ask big questions and be gentle and gracious with answers that come to us and really think about, who is it that I am inherently, and what is in the way of me living the fullness of that in my life? I think we have the chance to do that right now.
That's Sonia Renee Taylor, poet and author of The Body Is Not an Apology, The Power of Radical Self-Love. Thank you so much for this, and congratulations to the graduating class of 2020.
Yay, congratulations, graduates.